Now, an American playwright who has written a clever new adaptation of Cyrano de Bergerac, Edmond Rostand's play about a French soldier of outsized wit, valor, and nose. Barry Kornhauser, playwright in residence at the Fulton Opera House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, has packed Rostand's already clever and funny script with more jokes about noses and lots more.
The nose was an interesting choice on Rostand's part. You know, it could have been lots of different things physically and whatnot. I think the nose is kind of intrinsically comic, and it may be part of the reason he did it. But I think it is, the point is, it speaks beyond the nose. It's that notion of what we perceive as our imperfections and how sometimes our biggest flaw is not being able to see beyond our noses.
Barry Kornhauser staged his adaptation of Cyrano in Lancaster a few years ago. Now it's at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. A little background about Cyrano. This play was phenomenally popular when it opened in Paris in 1897, and we can actually hear a little of what it sounded like. In 1901, Benoît Constant Coquelin, who originated the title role, made a wax cylinder recording of the ballad that Cyrano improvises while dueling.
Avec grâce, mon feu, je fais lentement l'abandon du grand manteau qui me calfeutre, et je tire mon espadon. Élégant comme Céladon, agile comme Saramousse, je vous préviens.
There are some less venerable but more audible recordings of Cyrano and Cyrano in translation. Here is José Ferrer from the 1950 Stanley Kramer movie of Cyrano de Bergerac doing the Ballad of the Duel.
Lightly I toss my hat away. Languidly over my arm let fall the cloak that covers my bright array, then out swords and to work withal. A Lancelot in his lady's hall, a Spartacus at the hippodrome, I dally a while with you, dear jackal.
José Ferrer won the Academy Award for Best Actor for this role, which he had previously played on Broadway. It's based on a 1930s translation by the American poet Brian Hooker, although Hooker's translation was modified quite a bit for the movie. This is Hooker's version of the Ballad of the Duel, each verse concluding, "Then, as I end the refrain, thrust home."
Thrust home!
Thrust home is the translation of the French, je touche. In the 1970s, Anthony Burgess wrote an adaptation of the play for Derek Jacobi and the Royal Shakespeare Company. And then there is this version by Barry Kornhauser, read by Grant Wynne Davies, who's playing Cyrano at the Shakespeare Theater.
With grace I toss away my hat, then drape this cloak so very bland upon my waiting arm, like that. Drawing my sword, held high in hand, like Scaramouche I rend the sky. Thus, Viscount, in this pointed way, my honor will I satisfy, when at the refrain's end, touché.
Hooker's thrust home becomes Kornhauser's touché, which is typical of his adaptation and translation. More French words appear. Brian Hooker translated Cyrano's hallmark panache as the white plume in his helmet. Barry Kornhauser calls it his panache.
Up until Rostand wrote Cyrano de Bergerac, that word meant nothing more than that white plume in a helmet or hat.
And from there, panache came to mean style and all of those other things.
Yeah, because I think he was talking more about just that simple white plume, which is how Brian Hooker ends, you know, his translation, of course, because it, for Cyrano, it represents a quality of spirit.
Well, you took some other interesting liberties with the play. For example, there's a moment when Christian is asking citizens, if you please, which is Ragueneau's favorite tavern. One answers, "You might try the Notre Drame." Or, says another, "Sacré-Cœur's light."
Yeah. I'm sure your listeners are probably groaning already, Robert. Rostand himself called this play a heroic comedy. And I think often, although the heroism's often captured in probably every adaptation between the battlefield bravado and the swashbuckle, the comedy is lost a little bit, sometimes again because it's very hard to translate. So I just wanted to find ways to bring that back.
At another point, "You should have seen it, boys, a glorious fight." And the cadets answer, "Sorry we missed it. It was our bowling night."
It needs to be a fun evening. For me, my favorite theater is stuff that's both moving and thought-provoking, but also that finds great balance. And I thought this play has such wonderful pathos. It would be nice sometimes to find places where the audience can just sit back and smile instead of cry.
And there's one moment that absolutely brings the house down when De Guiche rather imperiously calls out to no one in particular, "Call me a sedan chair." And the cadets look at each other, shrug, and in unison say, "Sir, you are a sedan chair."
Yeah, I think the worse the joke, the better sometimes. I have a great penchant for cheap jokes, and look where it's taken me. So.
That's a good old joke.
It is a good old joke, yeah. And there were some that Michael Kahn very wisely put the kibosh on. Yeah, Michael Kahn's, you know, a living legend, the artistic director of the Washington Shakespeare Theater, which is probably America's premier classical theater, and also the director of drama at Juilliard. But, you know, and I'm just astounded and grateful that he even took the time to read this unsolicited manuscript by an author he didn't know, or for that matter, most of the rest of the world didn't know. But I owe him a debt in another way. I grew up not liking theater very much. Growing up again in urban New Jersey, when my parents took me to see Shakespeare in the Park, it wasn't Joe Papp in Central Park. It was Joe Schmo in Warren Ankle Park, not exactly the stuff that dreams are made on. And if my school ever went on a field trip to see a play, we'd spend the bus trip betting on how quickly we could stop the show with our heckling, and did a pretty good job of it normally, so we didn't get to go very often. But in high school, I had an English teacher, Ruth McCalmont, who loved Shakespeare dearly and wanted to convert us heathens, so she took us to see a Shakespeare piece at Stratford in Connecticut. It was a history play, no less, Henry V. But this production knocked my socks off, Robert. It was subversive, it was exciting, it was thought-provoking, and it was fun. And for the first time, I resisted the urge to turn my playbill into a paper airplane, and I read the thing to see who was responsible for this remarkable creation, and it was some guy named Michael Kahn.
We've heard from Grant Wynne-Davies reading from your adaptation of Cyrano, but I wonder if, before you leave us, you could read us the last words of Cyrano de Bergerac in your version.
Yes, all of my laurels you have riven, and my roses too. However, there is one thing I have not given up to you. As I now enter before God with a grand salute sweeping all the stars from heaven's gate, my most precious attribute I'll still possess, locked forever in my soul's own deepest cache, unscathed even by death, and that is my panache.
Barry Kornhauser, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great honor and joy.
Playwright Barry Kornhauser's adaptation of Cyrano de Bergerac is being performed at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C.